The city at the epicenter of the coronavirus pandemic begins to reopen today. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. 76 days after it was cut off from the rest of the world, the lockdown in the Chinese megacity of Wuhan has been lifted. The BBC's Robin Brandt reports.
The question I get asked the most is this a return to normal? What I say is it's a return to business. It's very far from normal, though. But if you look to state-run TV today, much of the propaganda that we're seeing on social media and certainly a lot of their international-facing media, they talk about today being a beacon of hope for those fighting the battle against COVID-19 across the world. And essentially, everything is opening up. Everything is getting back to normal. Public transport, the metro system, all of that is back online. They have lifted the most draconian restrictions. So people living there who want to leave can now do so. If you want to go to Wuhan as well from the rest of China, you can do that. But there are numerous conditions in place. I think the most significant is the need to have this green code on a widely used health app on smartphones. Green basically means you are no risk. If you've got that and you want to leave Wuhan today on one of the 100 high-speed rail links or one of the 200 domestic flights leaving all by car, then you can do that.
Robin Brandt reporting there. While Wuhan is getting back to some normalcy, China as a whole has restricted entry for international travelers. That's after officials said a jump in new coronavirus cases in the last 24 hours came mostly from Chinese people returning home from abroad. Here in the UK, the government is considering whether to extend movement restrictions that were put in place 16 days ago. Cabinet Minister Dominic Raab again emphasized the importance of staying home.
We've got Easter weekend coming up, warm weather. We understand that people are making big sacrifices to follow this guidance. It is contributing to our ability to tackle the coronavirus. The worst thing now would be to take our foot off the pedal, to ease up on that and risk losing the gains that have been made.
That's Dominic Raab. He's standing in on some matters for Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who has spent two nights now in intensive care as he battles COVID-19. The BBC's Rob Watson explains temporary leadership succession plans are a complicated matter for the UK government.
In the UK, we do not have a written constitution. You don't have a vice president, as in the United States, to take over from the president. What you do have is precedent. In the past, what has happened is that they've handed over to the person considered the most senior in rank in the government, which in the UK's case is the foreign secretary.
So economic policy is obviously front and centered. Under Boris Johnson's leadership, business loan programs, wage protection measures have all been put in place. Who now has the authority to sign off on any further changes or additions to those kinds of programs?
It's not entirely clear, but we have a system in this country of cabinet government. So if, for example, the UK was going to change its economic policy, that would have to be something agreed upon by all ministers. But then, of course, there would be difficult economic decisions, health decisions about what to do in the longer term. And at that point, I think one could talk about a vacuum because we do not have a prime minister to make those decisions.
When it comes to the economy, we know that the consumer plays a huge role in powering it. So the prime minister's move to ICU this week, I think, has really driven the point home about how unpredictable this virus is. How can the government kind of shore up confidence among the public during and after these lockdown restrictions are lifted?
The problem I think that the government will have is how do you balance up healthcare concerns but cares about the economy? Who would make those vital decisions when the man that everybody looks to as the prime minister is unable to make those decisions? And there is no answer to that at this point, Victoria.
The BBC's Rob Watson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
A quick check of the numbers. After 2 days of gains, European shares are falling today amid worries about how policymakers will respond to the economic impact of the coronavirus pandemic. The Pan-European Stock 600 index is down about 1.2% following Asia shares lower. The CAC 40 in Paris is down nearly 2% after the Bank of France estimated the economy shrank 6% in the first quarter. EU finance chiefs have so far failed to reach a deal on a coordinated economic response to coronavirus. But in Spain, the country with the second highest number of COVID-19 cases in the world, the government has one idea to alleviate the strain: universal basic income. It's a program that guarantees some level of income to everyone, regardless of their means. Professor Javier Diaz Jimenez from IESE Business School in Madrid explains the idea could be a good first step.
Ideally, what you want is to cause as little damage as possible to the economy. And whenever it opens up again, people must have the money that they need to make ends meet. And basic income is a great way to do it because everybody's thinking it's going to be a transitory shock and people need money. So why not give people money?
For other, maybe less economically well-off European nations, what's the likelihood that those countries like Greece or Italy could afford to implement UBI?
I don't think so. There is a basic income in many of these countries for the elderly. In Spain, for instance, we have a non-contributory pension for people that are over 65. And in Spain and in other countries, there's programs for those that are long-term unemployed once they have already exhausted their unemployment compensation benefit. So the key thing here is, can we make this universal and permanent? And I'm afraid that the answer is still no.
So really, what you think needs to happen is just one-time, maybe two-time payments to get money in people's pockets to help them survive and weather this crisis.
Yes. The only way to finance a permanent basic income is when technology has almost taken over and many jobs have become automatized, and you can use the value created by these machines and algorithms to give money to people.
Professor Javier Diaz-Jimenez, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Finally, if you're thinking about what to put in your Easter basket this weekend, one staple you can buy without limits at British supermarkets, chocolate eggs. Now you're not limited to just one or two of Sunday's holiday. Those cream-filled eggs are my favorite. Let me know yours. I'm at Victoria Craig on Twitter. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.